Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here with us on a Sunday. Our guest, Mary Jean Oldham, she is the author of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. Mary Jean is a social media specialist and public relations professional, as well as a self-described ambassador for the Charlottesville area. In 1998, Mary Jean set the Guinness Book of World Records for creating the world's largest bouquet of flowers at 28,801 stems. And in her spare time, she also bakes pies competitively. She also writes, which is why she's here today, to talk about the second edition of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. Hello.
Hello.
You know, before we get too far into this book, I'd like to know what kind of pies you're baking these days, because I like my pies.
I know. I'm so glad you asked. I am getting ready to enter the Virginia State Fair in 5 of their 8 pie categories.
Oh, talk. Please talk more.
So I am working on the 5 categories I'm going to enter are lemon chess, chocolate chip, alcohol-infused pecan,
ooh, baby,
sweet potato, and two fruit. For the two fruit, I'm going to do a cran raspberry pie.
Mm.
For the alcohol-infused pecan, I'm going to do a bourbon butterscotch pecan.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that's going to be a winner.
Wow. Excuse me, I need a napkin for the drool.
So that's what I'm working on right now, our test pies for that competition.
Well, can we start over, because you didn't bring any test pieces? Please hurry back.
Okay.
Run home and get some.
All right.
Wow. I'd also like to ask about the world's largest bouquet of flowers at 28,801. Is there a mistype there?
No, that's right. I had green under my fingernails for weeks after that. It was a long time ago. It was 1998. And I was working in St. Louis, Missouri, and my public relations client was the Missouri Botanical Garden. And as you might have guessed, I like to go big or go home. And in my early days of my PR career, I really was enamored of sort of stunt PR. And I loved the Guinness Book World Records. You know, as a little kid, I always
got the new, like, right? In second grade, I think that was my purchase through whatever the book thing was.
Scholastic.
That you got to shoot.
Yep.
Yeah, Scholastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So always a fan of that. So I thought, wow, you know, this is my chance to try to break a world record. And I was able to get a lot of community support and a lot of media coverage, which was my job at the time. And I had vendors who contributed stems to the bouquet and a lot of volunteers, and we just made it happen. My boss at the time, when I brought the idea to her, said, well, okay, you can do this, but there's no trying. Like, you have to break the record if you're going to do it. So,
right, you can't get coverage and say,
we tried.
Mary Jean Oldham failed at her attempt.
Right. Wah, wah. That would be really sad. So, no, it was a lot of carnations and a lot of roses, but we made it happen, and it was pretty exciting.
Wow. Yeah, the smile on your face, which you can't see through radio, tells that was pretty exciting.
It was. It was fun. It was a big accomplishment. Of course, the record was broken within the next year or so.
Did they have to make that record up? Because sometimes they create records.
Uh-huh.
Or was that record already there and you broke it?
There was a record that we broke, and I don't remember the number of stems, but it was
28,801. Had it been 28,800?
No, that would be pretty lame. No, it was a lot more than the original record. I want to say it was maybe like 26 or something. I really don't remember. Okay. Like I said, 1998 was a long time ago, Rick.
So let's move on to the book. Mary Jean is here today for her book, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. This is the second edition.
It is.
All right. So coming out, is it already on bookshelves?
It is hitting bookshelves right now as we speak.
But this is the first stop in your media tour.
I know. How exciting.
Yeah, it is for me. So we're going to go through during the hour and hit several, many of these 100 things to do.
Okay.
But just to, so we have a little motion and flow through this, let's start with landscaping as we go from bouquets. Let's stick with flowers and plants.
Okay.
Because you have edible landscaping.
I do. Have you been to edible landscaping?
I went to edible landscaping a long time ago.
It's such a treat. We have been many times because my husband is an avid gardener, and we're always there to pick out the new tree or bush or whatever we're going to be adding to our yard. And it's such a magical experience to walk among the orchards and gardens that they have at Edible Landscaping. And you truly can create a lunch out of it, sampling what's in season. They're so knowledgeable, too. You can spend a lot of time learning from the staff there. And we have spent long afternoons doing that. So it's a pretty neat place.
Yeah, so it's out near Afton.
Right.
And
you could always hit a winery afterwards.
Yeah. And so it's a place where, I mean, that's what they do. It's not where you can, they don't just sell parsley.
No.
Or right. apple trees.
Right.
Right. I mean, right. there's a lot of different and unusual things that you might not consider putting out. And you're just not putting it there for the deer to come in your yard.
Let's hope not. Yeah. And they know a lot about fertilizers and what kind of techniques you can use, organic or not, to keep bugs off of your plants and to help them thrive. They're very good about instructing you on, you know, how to go about planting a cherry tree the right way.
Yeah, edible landscaping.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And so that's one of the more unusual things that you'll find in Mary Jean Oldham's book, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die, second edition. You can already find it out.
Yes.
On the shelves, whether they're in a local bookstore, which there might be a few of those listed in the book.
Yes.
Or online, if you happen to look for online bookshelves. And again, Mary Jean is our guest today here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening in. Mary Jean, this is a second edition. Did you, there are some things that were in the first edition. There are some things that are new. Like
right.
I noticed you had to find a new lavender farm.
I did. Yeah. And there are a couple of different lavender farms out there. And I just thought I would go with the one that now has a vineyard in it as well. There's just more to do. So a lot of things have changed since 2014 to today. So, lots of new additions.
Well, my wife, you know, we have the first book and my wife wanted to go to that lavender farm and I think they closed down.
Yeah, I think so too. It happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
have you ever tried to grow lavender, Rick?
I haven't. Can your husband tell us about that?
It's hard.
Send an email,
it takes a lot of work.
Well, then no, we won't be growing lavender. Aside from originally living in the county where there are a lot of deer, the new house that we're moving into this weekend, there are apparently just as many deer.
It's just a deer salad bar in your yard.
That's right. I don't need that.
No.
But that was interesting to find as we were looking through. I mean, we took the first book and my wife wanted to go to the lavender farm. And when we got around to that one weekend, we checked it out. I mean, we didn't actually end up driving up there to find out
That's
it was closed,
good.
But
That's
we
good.
Did. But so when we got this one, we're like, oh, it's a the lavender farm is in there. Wait, that's a different lavender farm.
It's a different.
So White Oak Lavender Farm, 8,000 plants.
It's really big. It's a very nice place. They also have a little petting zoo, which is really nice. And they have a pardoned turkey, which I forget which administration pardoned the turkey, but it was a while ago. And it's huge, and it's just wandering around the farm. So, you ever wonder what happens to those pardoned
turkeys?
Well,
you know what? I have. Oh, well, I mean, oh, and now I know today.
You can go visit one and
I was
say
like,
hello.
Yeah, I mean, do they go back to where they were? Do they, but now I realize, why would you go back to the people who wanted to send you off to be killed?
Go to a petting zoo.
Go to a new place.
That's where they all end up.
That's pretty cool. So let's pick a few. Let's pick a few more out of here today.
I would say, you know, things do change fast, and it's important that even. Yeah, and I do a lot of work to make sure that the things that I put in the book I think are really solid, right? That are never going to go anywhere. Like Spud Nuts, for example. Spud Nuts was in the first book.
Right.
I thought there was no way that Spud Nuts would ever be gone from this community. And for people who don't know, Spud Nuts was a beloved potato donut shop in Belmont in Charlottesville. And in the last year, we saw Spud Nuts closed. So for anything in the book, if you're heading out in your car to go visit something, please look it up first. Make sure it's still there and it's still open. And it's open when you're on your way there in case you're going on a Sunday and they don't have Sunday hours. You got to check that stuff out.
Right. And that's so true. I mean, it's not just whether the business is open or still open.
Right.
Open for business.
At the time that you would like to go. Definitely.
Don't curse the author.
No, not my fault. Just disclaimer right here, right now.
You enjoyed it when you were writing the book. Let's allow the readers to enjoy it when they go to use the book.
And I do go out of my way to make sure, you know, I think about it.
These are not pop-up businesses.
No, that's right.
I enjoyed it for the 1 week, the 3 hours that it was open. Hope you can find it too.
That's right. No fly-by-night businesses. That's kind of my policy.
Mary Jean Oldham and 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. I'll pick one and then you can pick one.
Okay.
One of the ones that I've always enjoyed, I don't know, I feel like I need to whisper this one almost.
Oh.
Crash a Concert by Eavesdropping from the Belmont Bridge.
Yes. We don't want to tell too many people about that.
Right.
Well, I wonder what's happening with the Belmont Bridge too, right?
Right. I almost need to do that one now.
That's right. At some point there will be replacement of that bridge and
right,
construction.
Like, right. It was near Spud Nuts.
But I'm pretty confident that there will always be some sort of roadway there and some sort of sidewalk. But it is a favorite thing of locals, I think, to do. I don't imagine you have a lot of tourists standing on the Belmont Bridge. But if you happen to be in town and you happen to be touring about on foot the downtown area, and there's a concert at the pavilion for which you did not buy a ticket, you can still enjoy that concert
right.
by hanging out on the sidewalk and listening to the music for a little while.
I mean, you don't have the best view.
No, it's not the best view. You can get a nice shot of the audience, though. You can see the audience from where you stand.
Yeah.
But it's an enjoyable thing to do. And if it's a show that, you know, maybe you only like a couple of hit songs, why buy the whole ticket? This is all I'm saying.
So can you share what concert you went to... For this one?
I definitely saw Sheryl Crow from the bridge.
Did you?
Yes. That's the only one I can think of.
But you only need one for that one.
I definitely have heard a couple from the bridge, but that's the only one I remember.
But there are a couple craft breweries and places that you can go to before then, so you might not always remember which ones that you...
You can make a real night of it.
That's right. So why don't you pick one? And tell us a story about how it made the book.
Okay. Well, one of the new additions to the book is one of my favorite new things to do in Charlottesville. And that is goat snuggling.
Oh, well, see, now I have to mark that off my list of questions.
So this got very quickly very popular. The baby goats out at Caramont Farm need to have some human interaction. They need to get socialized when they're babies so that anybody can milk them. Caramont Farm makes cheese from goat's milk. And so they have a large population, ever-growing population of baby goats. So they first started by inviting the public out for sort of an open house and to feed and snuggle and keep warm and socialize the baby goats. This event went viral. I mean, it was just a social media sensation. Everybody heard about it. People were so eager that all the open house weekends sold out immediately. It's still that way. It's really hard to get a ticket to go out there. You have to plan way ahead. So anytime they open dates, we've tried to get in there. So I've done it twice. Once for my husband's birthday and once for Mother's Day. And it was just delightful. It's just a nice thing. You cannot be in a bad mood and snuggle a baby goat and stay in a bad mood. They're comical. They're adorable. It's just a nice thing to do. And it's beautiful out there. You can taste and buy some cheese or some goat's milk soap. It's a great experience.
Have you ever had anything to do with an adult goat?
There are some adults running around. They'll try to eat your shoelaces. They might headbutt you a little bit.
I have had the, by telling the story, it's a pleasure at the time, not always much so. Had a friend who had some goats and you have to trim their hooves.
Oh.
And, you know, they're difficult to deal with. And, you know, being a big guy, I was the one who had to capture the goat and then lay on top of it. So the goat couldn't get up.
My friend,
right, not snuggling. Could then trim the hooves. And a story to tell, but
yeah.
You know, you can laugh about it. No, I did not get hurt.
That's good.
But it was, you know.
Yeah.
Not something that you would sign up for your birthday or for Mother's Day.
Definitely
but
not.
Still, it's no. So I want to know, when you put these in your first book, because we are talking about the second edition here, we are with Mary Jean Oldham, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. Does anybody write to you and say, I don't want to be in the book?
No.
Does anybody write to you and say, you put my competition in the book, why didn't you put me in the book?
No.
Well, I mean, you have, and we can go, I don't know what page it's on because I didn't write it down. But I can find it real quick. Because you have a nice set in the back, you have a nice references and index in the back. Try a slice.
Yes.
In a college town, what's a college town without awesome pizza? And then you list your 5 particularly great pizza joints.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're all independent places. But there's several other independent places in Charlottesville that don't get listed.
Yeah.
And nobody called you up and say, hey, you left me out.
Not yet, but they might after this. I guess no pizza for MJ, right?
Right. I mean, you know, maybe you don't go there.
I wrote about my favorites.
Yeah.
That's it. I also took a lot of community input.
Did you?
In writing the book. So it's not merely 100% my opinions. I don't even play golf. But there's a chapter on the golf courses in town because people play golf. I recognize that. And people might really like to do that. So they need to know what opportunities there are for that in town. But I can't swing a club to save my life.
My mother always talks about how she didn't pick up golf till she was 50-something.
Oh, I guess there's still a chance.
Now she's got a couple holes in one, I believe.
That's nice.
I'm assuming that's why the golf ball is in the glass case at the house. All right. I'll stop taunting Mary Jean about getting cut off by College Inn Pizza and move on. We'll take a break and come back about 100 things to do in Charlottesville before you die. Hang tight, everybody. All right. Back with author, pie maker, and bouquet queen of Guinness Book of World Records, Mary Jean Oldham. So you pointed out to me that the book is organized differently than the first edition.
It is, and I think it's really helpful, a very helpful update. So in the previous edition, there was an index that broke things down. So if you wanted to look for ideas for date night or family-centric things, that still exists. But the book itself is organized in sections. So you do have food and drink up front, and then music and entertainment.
As in Charlottesville way, it always starts with food and drink.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. I could write a whole book just on food and drink.
Yes, you could.
And then sports and recreation, culture and history, shopping and fashion. So it definitely made for a writing challenge, and that I had to make sure I had enough categories or enough entries for each category. So there wasn't anything too heavy. And, you know, as we just said, I had to sort of make sure there wasn't too much food and drink to balance the book out a little bit, right? So there's tons of sports and recreation and culture and history, as we all know.
Did you feel like you left anything out? I mean, in order to make these, to get all these in here, like you talk about, you know, hey, couldn't put in too many food and drink, need to make sure I have other stuff. Or even if you wanted to have another category, are you saving things for the third edition, you know, kind of thing?
No, certainly not. No, I feel like I got everything in there. There are new things that crop up as time goes. And that's why there's a Facebook page for the book.
Yeah.
And as things open or close, I do try to keep that up to date and make announcements there. Or if there's something new and sort of a pop-up situation, something that is going to be temporary, then I do try to make note of that there.
And the Facebook page?
It is 100 Things Seaville.
Mm. Very clever.
Well, thanks.
Again, our guest, Mary Jean Oldham. We are talking about the new book, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. The book is available. And you're going to do some book signings.
Yes,
We'll go through them throughout the hour. But the first one is coming up soon.
Yes, the 14th.
The 14th of September.
At New Dominion Bookshop.
Everybody's favorite for book signings. Is Mr. Grisham going to be there?
Like, you know, I
would night before,
think so.
The night after? That's his place to do book signings.
That's true. That's right. We, us authors, you know, we like to have our book signings at New Dominion.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm hoping he comes to mine.
So Friday, September 14th is a Friday.
That's right.
At New Dominion Bookshop. 6 p.m.
Yep.
How long will you be there?
I think I'm there for an hour. So I'm going to do a little speaking gig, and then I'll sign your book if you buy one. And we will have some refreshments from Tillman's next door. It'll be a good time.
So there is, I see using the index, that New Dominion is listed.
Yes.
So if I go to that page, you have turn a page at an independent bookstore. And you list a handful of bookstores. New Dominion opened its doors in 1924. Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
And you list a handful of books, browse carts and shelves of used books for gifts of your personal collection. But you talk about Virginia may be for lovers, as the tourism slogan tells us, but Charlottesville is for readers. E-books and big box bookstores seem not to have hurt the book trade, both new and pre-owned throughout the Charlottesville region.
We like our books. I mean, see the Virginia Festival of the Book as proof, right?
Right.
It's a big, big festival. And we do like our bookstores here. And that's nothing against the big box stores, but you can go to those anywhere, right? Here is the only place that you can go to New Dominion Bookshop and have that very unique experience.
Right. I enjoy New Dominion. Uh-huh. I like going on the downtown mall and wandering from bookstore to bookstore.
Yep.
If I wander into Daedalus,
you may not wander out.
I can only go to one bookstore for the day.
Yes.
Like, I can't go to New Dominion and to Daedalus.
Right, because you'll just be wandering the stacks for hours hours. It's a very cool thing
to
do.
Sandy McAdams has me hooked.
Really?
Yeah.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
He's been nice enough to be on this program in the past a couple times.
That's great.
In fact, I went to James. Well, I didn't go. I went to the library. I went through the library system yesterday. I went to the Crozet branch of Jefferson.
Oh, that's
library. I think we also have one of the best library systems
in
the Charlottesville area.
Yep.
Yes, you have a handful of books listed here on the turn of page at an independent bookstore.
Yep.
We do. We have some great new and used bookstores here in our area. That's a great thing to list as well. One of the other things that you have here, and we'll continue to go through these with Mary Jean Oldham, is you have activities by season, which I thought was interesting. So depending on whatever season it's in, you can find something to do. You have suggested itineraries. So whether you're a music lover, you can pick some things, or date night, as you were mentioning, festivals. Mm-hmm. You list the festivals, the Virginia Film Festival, the Festival of the Book, the Tom Tom Founders, if you want to do Bateau Day, the James River, you have foodie favorites, et cetera. So pick one and let's go through a few.
Okay. I'm thinking. There's so many.
There are. Because I created my own, by the way.
You created your own list.
Yeah, something that you didn't have that I came up with while looking through
some
of these. Yeah.
All right.
You can put in your third edition.
Yeah, I figure I'm in this every 4 years or so, right? There's so many things. What to choose? How about seeing a tiny concert at the garage?
Ooh, the garage. See, that's so fun because people who like, I mean, we just did the Belmont Bridge.
That's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's different because the garage is this space. I mean, when we were talking about the Belmont Bridge,
right,
the pavilion is this
enormous space.
That's right. It's this enormous space. Other than John Paul Jones Arena, the pavilion is really, isn't that the next in line for size? And so
the garage has to be the smallest.
You talked about Sheryl Crow. I mean, that's somebody Sheryl Crow would never play the garage.
I mean, the garage
isn't even as big as the studio that we're in now.
That's right.
And so for people, for a tourist or even so many locals would walk past that space
and have no idea.
And have no idea that that's what it is,
right,
or that it's there.
Yeah.
You have to know where you're going and what it's for.
Right.
That is a fabulous choice to put it in here.
It's an inside secret, right?
It is.
What about the cheese pilgrimage to the monastery in Whitehall?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know about that?
I do. I've been up there. That's really cool.
That's pretty special.
It is.
I think.
That's pretty neat.
Uh-huh.
But you have to...
You have to bring cash.
That's a tip, right?
Yeah.
The nuns don't do credit cards.
They do not.
They do not have their electronic system. It's not swipe or chip.
It's nope. It's cash only.
Cash only. Mm-hmm. Right. But you have to. I don't even know that Siri can get service that far out either. I think you have to figure out. You need to have a paper map and figure out where you're going and take directions before you get going.
Another hidden secret,
right? And kind of get lost if you're not careful. make sure you have a full day.
Yeah, that's true too. And why not make a full day?
But that's fun, right? Because as you point out, it's not just going to get cheese,
right? It's a whole experience.
And you can get wine next door.
That's right. So why wouldn't you do that? Go pick up your treat. Bring your own crackers. Go pick up the cheese and then go to Whitehall Vineyard and enjoy some wine. I think that sounds like a perfect afternoon.
No, it's a well done tip, as you put it, to put the two together.
That's right.
Again, our guest, Mary Jean Oldham, here as we go through the 100 things to do in Charlottesville before you die. Second edition. I hope we're not turning people off from buying the book who are saving the podcast and getting,
I wrote the book, and I'll tell you, it still sits on our shelf in our kitchen.
Yeah.
And when we have a weekend with the kids and nobody has any plans, it is not uncommon for somebody in my household, including me, to pull it out and flip through it and say, what should we do? So it's like a reference guide. You may think you know everything in here.
But no.
Even if you wrote it, and you may have forgotten. And it just helps to jog your interest, you know, to think about what hike you might like to do, what outdoor activities are appropriate for this season. You know, kids are always like, I don't want to do anything, or I don't know what I want to do. And if you can offer them a couple of options based on a book right in your house, that helps.
Well, I'm going to give you my...
Your favorites?
Well, no, I'm going to give you my suggestion as to your... activities by season.
Okay.
You've got suggested itineraries is what you have.
Yep.
So you've broken down in the back of the book, you have itineraries for music lovers, for date night, fun with the kids, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have activities by season.
Right.
Winter, spring, summer, fall. But as I was putting together things to talk about during the hour, again, we are here with author Mary Jean Oldham talking about 100 things to do in Charlottesville before you die. I think what you left out was holiday season.
Okay.
Because as I was going through the book,
yes,
I came across Key West.
Right.
You have Key West in here.
Yeah.
And we'll get more specific in a moment. But Key West has the Christmas lights.
Yes.
That's a holiday item,
yes,
right?
True.
You have Blessing of the Hounds.
True.
That's a Thanksgiving holiday.
You're right. Thing.
You have the Spirit Walk. Right? Is that a holiday?
Yeah, well.
You might not count that one.
I think that's all fall. I think the holiday lights are up pretty much all winter.
You have lawn trick-or-treating.
Yes. Halloween, for sure. That's a one-day-only kind of thing. That's a pop-up kind of event.
Run from the zombies.
Yes.
So I was like, those are all holiday events. It should be activities by season. That would be holidays.
That would be holidays.
Holidays
too.
Needs its own activities.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's definitely fodder for the Facebook page, right? Yeah,
there you go. So let's talk about Key West.
Okay.
Let's see. It's on page 97. If you have your book at home, you can follow along. See the lights of Key West during the holidays. Now, this is one of those things where it's not just this, you know, when you go to the house that puts up all the lights and goes crazy.
Yes.
Key West neighborhood really lights it up for the holidays. Not only do the homeowners get on board with lights and inflatables, Griswold style, and the neighborhoods line the streets with luminaria, you know, what used to be paper bags filled with sand and glowing with a lit candle inside. Nowadays, sometimes the bags are plastic and the lights electric, but the effect is the same and safer.
Right.
So, Key West.
Yes.
That's the neighborhood out on Route 20.
Right.
East, northeast of Charlottesville.
Okay.
Is that the right?
I think that's right. That sounds right.
Just on the north side of Pantops.
I don't know when it happened that you know, it was probably just a couple of neighbors competing with one another and then it grew. But you know, we didn't used to see like the big inflatables. I don't know when that started, probably in the last 10 years or so, but
more
man.
When Lowe's
got- Yeah, right? Lowe's kind of made that happen. Lowe's and Sam's, I think. And then, you know, when was the last time you saw an actual lighted candle? Like, they're all electric now. They all are battery operated, which I guess is safer. You don't have any of those bags catching on fire. Which, if it's a dry winter, could be a real problem. So, but it's something to see. Hollymead's a pretty big Christmas decorating neighborhood as well. I used to live in the Hollymead neighborhood, and the Hollymead Fire Department will come driving through with Santa on board, which is pretty exciting for the kids. It's pretty cool.
We also have in my grouping of holiday things to see, yes. Blessing of the Hounds at the Grace Episcopal Church.
Yes. That's a sweet tradition, isn't it?
I've never
it?
Been to that.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I
but yes, it is a sweet tradition.
Are big fans of that event. When I wrote it, so that's one that's in the first edition as well, and there were a lot of people who wrote into me who said, you got to make sure you put this in the book.
And as someone who's been an owner of a couple senior plot hounds, I would love to have made time and opportunity to have my senior hounds blessed.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah. Very sweet and very typically Charlottesville
right.
tradition, more than 80 years old, takes place every Thanksgiving morning. I think that's one of the things that makes it Blessing to the Hounds. Special gathering at Grace Episcopal Church in Keswick. Since 1929, the church is cleverly enticed fox hunters to come to church. That's my favorite line in that whole piece. Offering special blessings for their hunting dogs and horses. It's the oldest ceremony of its kind in the United States. More than 1,000 people come to witness the Keswick Hunt Club dogs receive their blessings.
That's sweet, right?
Yeah, that is sweet.
One of these years I may get there. I'm usually pretty busy on Thanksgiving morning trying to execute a Thanksgiving meal.
I would think pies, all the pies that have to be made.
That's right.
It's hard to bake too many pies ahead of time.
That's true. I always try, though.
What made you, I mean, how did you know to put that in the book, the first book? And if you haven't been.
Yeah. Oh, because I heard about it from so many different people. And it does seem like a uniquely Charlottesville thing. So when I went and did research about it, I thought, well, that's really special. That's very unique to Charlottesville.
Okay. Just a minute before our next break. So just to keep on my holiday theme here, talk about the lawn trick-or-treating.
Oh, it's the cutest, isn't it? All these little kids in their costumes. I mean, I'm well past the stage where I have little kids who are trick-or-treating anymore, but I always enjoy seeing other people with their kids. And it's just a cute tradition. What happens is all the people in the town bring their tiny children in costume to the lawn at UVA, where the students are ready to hand out candy to trick-or-treaters. It's a beautiful place to be to trick-or-treat. I think it feels safe to the parents who are bringing those kids, and the kids just love it. They get to roam around. They do it earlier in the evening, so it's, you know, possible for you to go hit your neighborhood afterwards and get candy from all of your neighbors.
All right, and last one on my list of holiday stuff. Talk about the run from the zombies.
No, oh. That's a pretty fun thing, too. So you can either sign up to be a zombie or the chased in the Run from the Zombies 5K. So the people who sign up to be zombies get full makeup, and they get to act like zombies and chase the people who are just out there to run. I think I might run faster if I thought I was being chased by a zombie. If you could convince yourself that it was real for just a minute, you probably would.
Mary Jean Oldham talking about her book, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. We'll be back in a second to talk about more. Hang tight. All right. We are here with Mary Jean Oldham going through the book, the second edition of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die.
I want to tell you a story about why the second edition is now. Can I tell you about that?
I'm waiting. Since I don't have any pie to eat.
What else are you going to do? Captive audience. So the first edition was 2014, and it got to be 2017, and I thought I really should start working on the second edition.
But yes, Bud Nuts was gone.
Just wasn't quite ready. I knew there were a lot of things that needed to be written, but I just had a lot on my plate, so I wasn't quite ready to do it. And then in November of 2017, my publisher's warehouse in St. Louis, Missouri,
oh no,
burned to the ground. And all of the inventory remaining for my book and the rest of the publisher's authors, gone, up in flames. It's very sad.
Oh no.
I know. And it was right before the holiday season. So a lot of other authors had brand new books out. And no inventory. So really devastating for them. But it forced my hand because the only remaining inventory was in my possession or, you know, whatever local bookstores still had on their shelves. And it ran out pretty fast. So I knew it was really time to get cranking. I had no choice, but it was time also. I mean, clearly I had been dragging my feet and I knew there was enough to fill a new book and to, you know, a lot of new stuff. So it was exciting. You know, the other thing that was interesting is that, you know, last year was a different kind of year in Charlottesville. You know, the summer of hate that we've all talked about really changed things in our community. And there was no way that I could write the book and not address that. So it seemed like good time to invite people back to Charlottesville as tourists. People who might feel apprehensive, who, you know, we traveled internationally a little bit after last summer, and everywhere that we went, people said, oh, you know, they had only heard of Charlottesville in context of the largest gathering of white supremacists in the Unite the Right rally. That's the last thing we want people to think of when they think of Charlottesville. There are so many other wonderful things to think about. So I really want to remind people of all of the wonderful things that are here and to not be afraid to come visit. There's no reason not to come visit our city.
You do bring up August 12th.
I do.
Here. And one of the 100 things to do. You list be locally socially aware.
Right.
In the summer of 2017, Charlottesville was the site of the largest to date recorded gathering of white supremacists. Heather Heyer, an anti-racism activist, was killed when a white nationalist rally participant drove his car into the crowd, injuring many others.
I think if you're a tourist and you're on our downtown mall, and you see the memorial to Heather Heyer, it's important that you understand why that's there and what happened that day. I'd hate for people to wander by and just see some flowers and some chalk drawings and not have any idea. So I think it's important that while you're here visiting, that that's something that's understood.
Well, you also have, and I can't find, this is where I can't find the, suddenly I can't find the index, but you also have, you mention slavery in here somewhere, don't you?
About I do.
Going to, here it is, explore African American history at the Jefferson School for African American Heritage Center.
Which is new since the first edition of the book. That's important. It's a great exhibit. There's lots of very interesting history there. And it's connected to our local history. In addition, the new exhibits at both Monticello and Montpelier have a lot to do of the history of slavery connected to both of those sites. And that didn't exist in 2014. We've really come out of the way in talking more about those issues.
Right. This isn't this book. There are a lot of fun things to do in this book.
Yeah.
Again, we are talking with Mary Jean Oldham on the updated edition of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. But this isn't, let's go to the water park.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to see these things in the book.
Yeah.
And so it's for tourists.
But it's as much for people who live here as well. And I think that's really important. I'm a big fan of being a tourist in your own town, but also understanding the history of your town and why things are the way they are. You know, whether you've lived here for a few months or many years or your grandparents were born here. I get people all the time who have lived here their whole lives who pick up the book and say, oh, I didn't know this. This is a new thing to me, or I never knew that this was a thing to do. So that's very gratifying. The other thing that I included in the book this time was about getting involved in our local nonprofits. You know, whether you're passing through and just going to an event that supports a nonprofit, or you live here, getting involved in this community. We have so many nonprofits here, and they support a variety of different things. But I think it's important. And that was something that people, when I asked, I said, hey, I'm getting ready to write the second edition, reached out to my community. And people said over and over, you got to mention this. You got to talk about getting involved. And that's something I do personally. So I'm not just saying it. I put my money where my mouth is.
That's great. Mary Jean Oldham here as we talk about her second edition, the updated version of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. So again, you can find it online or walk through one of the independent bookstores and pick it up there.
That's right.
I like this one, sort of along with what we were just discussing. Exercise your right to freedom of speech.
Yes.
The community chalkboard downtown, the First Amendment chalkboard. Have you actually written on that chalkboard?
You know, I don't think I ever have.
Write something thoughtful or crazy on the freedom of speech wall, community chalkboard, and monument to the First Amendment.
I guess I should go advertise the book, huh?
I think they clean it every week, once a week.
Yep.
They take something and they erase the board and refresh it every week.
They do.
Actually, it says twice a week now. If I read the notes at the end, it says the monument is refreshed twice a week. I guess they've got more people using it now. I think when they started.
I think you're probably right.
It was just once a week, but I guess more people using it. So now twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
I can keep going through and find my favorites. Do you have something that you want to bring up?
Let's see. Oh, all I'm going to do is talk about food. So you got to. This is sort of an update. So
then maybe we should do Get Fit at Fabulous Facilities.
back in 2014, cupcakes were all the rage.
Yes.
As you might recall. And since that time, cupcakes, not so much. Capolino's Crazy Cakes went away. And Pearl's Bake Shop on West Main, both closed and gone. What's a girl to do? So,
now apparently we're going to take a sweet trip through the city.
That's right. We have French bakeries now that cannot be missed. We have the Pie Chest, which is excellent.
I wonder why you put that in there.
I know, me too.
But they have sweet and savory pies.
They do. That's right. So you can have it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and dessert if you care to. But we have great bakeries in town, so it's more than just cupcakes. It's a lot of different things.
And Albemarle Baking Company, listed here,
yes,
has been in town for 20 years?
At least, right? I don't even know how old it is, but that's an excellent standard. And their princess cake is a birthday favorite.
I like their brioche.
Do you?
But I think they make it too early in the week to use it for... I like to make brioche into
French toast,
but they don't make it on like Friday to buy it for Saturday.
Yeah.
Or they didn't the last time I wanted to do that anyway. But yes, take a sweet trip through the city and get your sugar high going.
See, I've outlined it though, so you can walk it. This is where it all balances out. If you walk this whole thing,
you can burn your calories from one to the next.
I'm just thinking of you. I'm thinking of you, the reader. No, I didn't want to make any false claims, but I think if you jog or walk the whole trip, I think it kind of balances out.
I might have listed that, but then again, I'm the one who needs to be walking it while I'm... Explain this one to me.
Okay.
Try Benelux Dining.
Yes. I'm happy to. So Benelux is a style of food that is the Austria-German region of food. And Brasserie Saison is the downtown mall's first and only brewery. And that's where you can find that food. And that there's a special tip with that one. You see that?
For an extra special dining experience, book the tiny downstairs coat room with seating for up to 8 guests. You'll enjoy wines and libations only available in the secret cozy lair and personal attention from the staff.
It's a fantastic experience. So if you have a wedding anniversary or a special birthday or something coming up, book the coat room. And you can do it. You can book the whole thing if you want to go with 7 of your best friends, or you can go just the 2 of you only on a weekend. But the special attention that you get, the menu is wonderful. They have wines that they reserve just for the coat room that you can't get upstairs in the regular restaurant. It's pretty cool.
I've eaten at a lot of places in this city, but I've never eaten here.
You haven't eaten at Brasserie Saison?
I have not.
It's time. Make a reservation. Or don't. They're open for lunch. They're open for dinner.
Which means we'll need to go to the Get Fit at Fabulous facilities.
Yes.
And you have Get Your Butt Kicked or Kick Your Own Butt. At CrossFit or Madabolic, Charlottesville is lousy with overachievers. I blame the University of Virginia and Thomas Jefferson personally, who allegedly said you should spend at least 2 hours a day on bodily exercise.
Something we all strive for, right?
If you're talking about blaming the University of Virginia and Thomas Jefferson, yes.
2 hours of working out every day. I have to admit, I don't come anywhere close to that. But dare to dream. You can also do so many different kinds of yoga in Charlottesville. Has this captured your attention, from hot yoga to, you know, room temperature yoga to outdoor yoga?
Is there cold yoga yet?
Yoga. There's,
Do I need to open my cold yoga and hope that we're the next thing in town?
There are such things called yoga. I just saw an article about that. I don't think we have it locally, but if you wanted to start cold yoga, that sounds a lot more appealing to me than hot yoga.
Mary Jean Oldham here as we talk about 100 things to do in Charlottesville before you die. All aboard Amtrak. Now, it took a lot of time for the Amtrak train to get from Charlottesville and be able to go as far as it goes now. Have you ridden the train?
I have.
And how far up have you gone?
To New York City.
Were you happy with?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I mean, as someone who does most of their traveling either in a car or an airplane, the distinct pleasure that it is to just walk onto a train and sit down in comfort, have whatever food and beverage you brought along with you on the trip, and just sit back and relax and enjoy the journey. It's wonderful. Train travel is fantastic.
Shop for a cause at Martha's Market.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't, because I worked at a place that did some catering there, so only behind the scenes.
Okay. All right.
But I've been telling my wife about Martha's Market.
Yeah.
And I've gotten her excited about it.
I bet she'd like it.
Yeah.
It's quite fun. And, I mean, the vendors are really spectacular. They do a really good job hand-picking interesting vendors from all over the country to come have their wares on display. And they have good food, too. So you mentioned the catering. It's always a nice event.
So the book signing, we've got September 14th, but you've also got a couple others lined up.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sorry I don't know all the dates off the top of my head. As I said, I'll be sharing them on the Facebook page.
I've got, you've got September 14th, which is the Friday at New Dominion. I also have down here September 20th.
Yes.
Which is a Thursday night at Random Row Brewing.
That's right. I'm going from breweries to wineries, you know, all these places that are in the book. There's one at Afton Mountain Vineyard on the 22nd. That's Saturday afternoon. It'll be book signing and greeting readers.
I have you down on October 13th, which is a Saturday, at Barracks Road Shopping Center.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble and Albemarle Angler. I'll be doing a twofer that day, talking to readers and fisher people.
Yeah.
Anglers.
Well, you've got, I'm again, obviously at Barracks Road because your book is there.
Yes.
On sale. And at Anglers because I guess they're included in the book.
They are in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Again, just a few minutes left here with Mary Jean talking about the updated version of 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die. Crash a wedding.
Yes.
Have you crashed a wedding before?
Not intentionally.
All right. Just a few minutes left. How do you unintentionally crash a wedding?
You know, you open the wrong door at the wrong time. And, oh, there's a wedding. Hi, everybody.
Did you continue past opening? Did you take a step over the threshold?
I got a wave from the bride. I waved back, and then I hightailed it out of there.
Learn to dance with Seville Savoy.
Yes. That's on my personal bucket list. I would like to do that. Take some ballroom dancing classes.
Gaze at the stars at Veritas Winery.
Yes, that's a neat event that they do. Yeah. Music in the dark and wine. Who wouldn't want to do that?
View great flicks at the Virginia Film Festival.
I always look forward to that. And there are always way more films than I can possibly go to. But I will be going to a few this year.
I would also suggest that people can be volunteers.
Yes, that's true.
I've done that.
Have you?
In the old days, I mean, when they first started. Yeah. That's very cool, too.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
Yeah,
I
volunteered. I was a driver, and I got to drive some interesting people.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's
really
cool, too.
You meet some real celebrities that way.
I didn't meet, like, top-notch celebrity A people. I think they would have kept me from that. But but you can do some cool things. All right. So don't forget, you can buy the book, 100 Things to Do in Charlottesville Before You Die.
Makes a great gift.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
That's right.
And you can go to the Facebook page.
Yes, you can. Seville 100 Things.
All right. Mary Jean, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Take care.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Strength is in their fuel. Engineering assistance is from Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SevillePodcast.com. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning for another edition of The Wake-Up Call, only on 94.7 WPVC.